This conference is being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the coronavirus briefing. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode, and later we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be given to you at that time. If you require an offline assistance through an operator during the call, you can press a star, then zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. It's now my pleasure to turn the conference over to our host, Acting Governor Sheila Oliver. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you all for joining today's briefing call. I'm joined on the call by Health Commissioner Judith Persicelli, Dr. Christina Tan, and Assistant Commissioner Chris Neuwirth. As it was reported last night, we received notification of our fourth presumed positive case of coronavirus in New Jersey. The individual, a male in his 50s, has been hospitalized at Inglewood Hospital and Medical Center in Bergen County. Commissioner Persicelli will speak more directly to these cases in one moment. We know these reports of positive test results can be worrisome to residents, but we do ask everyone to remain calm. The Department of Health, along with our local and federal partners, continues to work hard in responding to and investigating each of these cases. New Jersey has been preparing along a whole-of-government approach since the very beginning for the eventuality that there would be positive coronavirus tests in New Jersey. And right now, those plans are working. Overall, the risk of the average New Jerseyan contracting coronavirus or developing COVID-19 remains low. As a reminder, the surest way to protect yourself and others is to practice smart hygiene. Wash your hands frequently with soap and water, cover your cough or sneeze, and avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. If you are feeling sick, take a day off from work or school and call your doctor or local health care provider. Anyone with questions or concerns is urged to visit the Department of Health's coronavirus information page at newjersey.gov/health. The state's toll-free public hotline has also been expanded to better accommodate out-of-state phone lines. Residents calling from a New Jersey phone number should call 1-800-222-1222, and those with an out-of-state number 1-800-962-1253. I will now ask Commissioner Persicelli to provide an update.
Thank you, Acting Governor, and good afternoon, everyone. Today I'll share with you as much updated information as we have, bearing in mind, as I have said before, that this is a rapidly evolving situation. To date in New Jersey, we have completed 29 tests. 25 of those tests have returned as negative, and 4 are presumptive positive. We currently have 4 tests in progress, 1 from Union County, 1 from Mercer County, and 2 from Bergen County. Since last evening, we have received notification of 15 additional persons under investigation. Persons under investigation are individuals exhibiting symptoms that have either been in contact with a confirmed COVID-19 individual or present with pneumonia of unknown cause. We have received specimens from 2 of those 15 cases and expect to receive the remaining specimens today and start testing either today or tomorrow, depending on the time of receipt of those specimens. Those PUIs are from Essex County, 3 are from Essex County, 7 from Bergen County, 2 from Morris County, 2 from Passaic County, and 1 from Camden County. Although at this time. Most of our PUIs are coming from the northern part of the state. They are testing negative for the most part. As I said, overall, we have completed 29 tests with 4 presumptive positives and 25 negatives. We currently have no high-risk individuals on self-isolation. The 4 positive tests are 3 from Bergen County and 1 from Camden County. Additionally, we are working with the health officer from Passaic in reference to a rabbi who held services last Monday in Passaic and was reported to have tested positive for COVID-19. This morning, we were able to verify that result with New York. We have advised the health officer that the recommendation that close contacts of the rabbi should self-quarantine for a period of up to 14 days from the last contact with the rabbi. And as a general recommendation, elderly and or vulnerable individuals, in addition to practicing respiratory etiquette and washing their hands frequently during the day and monitoring their own health, should limit exposure to mass gatherings. I will now give you an overview of the positive cases. A 32-year-old male from Bergen County had onset of symptoms on March 1st. He was admitted to Hackensack University Medical Center on the morning of March 3rd. His initial emergency department visit was on March 2nd. He is in stable condition. He is still hospitalized. His exposure to COVID-19 is still unknown. Contact tracing has begun and includes 1 close household contact who is now under self-quarantine. Healthcare workers who have had contact with this individual are being identified and assessed. His New York City contacts are being followed by the New York City Department of Health. It was reported that he attended a medical conference in New York and also has household contacts in New York. The second case, a woman in her 30s, a Bergen County resident, presented with onset of symptoms either February 29th or March 1st. She is stable and at home under self-quarantine. She has never been hospitalized. Her symptoms are reported as mild. It is reported that she had close contact with a work colleague in New York City confirmed to have tested positive for COVID-19. That work colleague is a New York resident. Contact tracing for her includes 1 close household contact who is now under self-quarantine. That contact has mild respiratory symptoms and is being tested. Healthcare workers are being identified and assessed. Additionally, 15 contacts attended a gathering at her home on the evening of the 29th, and those individuals are being notified by their local health departments to self-quarantine and monitor. New York Department of Health is following the New York contacts. The third case, a 61-year-old male from Camden County reports onset of symptoms on February 26. He was admitted to Jefferson Cherry Hill Hospital on March 3rd and is in stable condition. His exposure to COVID-19 at this time is unknown. Healthcare workers who have had contact with this individual are being identified and assessed, including EMS transport. He reports 7 close household contacts, 5 friends and coworkers. He has no out-of-state contact at this point. The fourth case, a 55-year-old Bergen County resident reports symptom onset on the 27th. That resident was admitted to Englewood Hospital on March 4th and remains admitted in stable condition. Exposure to COVID-19 is a link to the case associated with Temple Young Israel in New Rochelle. He was present at the services on the 23rd. New Jersey contacts include three family members. The case patient was also at an out-of-state conference, so this investigation of contacts will include interstate communications. Regarding the Frisch School in Paramus, state health officials have been in contact with the local health department. The school decided to close as a precautionary measure after a number of students were notified of a possible exposure in New York. Commissioner Repelet and I had a series of stakeholder calls yesterday with five different school groups to discuss the guidance for school closures and dismissals. All of these cases that I've shared with you are under public health surveillance activities through the local health departments, and those processes are ongoing. As I have done in the past, I encourage all residents to be vigilant in practicing respiratory etiquette, coughing into a tissue or your sleeve, washing your hands frequently with soap and water for 20 seconds, and if you are ill, stay at home, and if necessary, contact your health care provider. And now I'd like to introduce Dr. Tan, our state epidemiologist.
Thank you, Commissioner, and good afternoon, everybody. The complete clinical picture regarding COVID-19 is not fully understood. Reported illnesses have ranged from mild to severe, including illnesses resulting in hospitalization and death. And while the information so far suggests that most COVID-19 illness is mild, a report out of China suggests that serious illness occurs in about 16% of cases. As mentioned earlier, older people and people with certain underlying health conditions such as heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, they seem to be at greater risk for serious illness. Worldwide, there have been very few cases reported in children, and of those reported, the illnesses have been mild. Much is unknown about how the new coronavirus that causes COVID-19 spreads, and current knowledge is largely based on what is known about similar coronaviruses, which are very common. Generally speaking, human coronaviruses are a common cause of mild to moderate upper respiratory illness. Most often, person-to-person spread is thought to happen among people in close contact, meaning within 6 feet of each other, occurring mainly through respiratory droplets produced when an infected person coughs or sneezes, similar to how influenza and other respiratory pathogens spread. This is a very rapidly evolving situation, and risk assessment of COVID-19 will be updated as we have more information. And while we currently have several presumptive cases in New Jersey, the risk still remains low for our general population, but is higher for New Jerseyans who have traveled to areas where community transmission of COVID-19 might be occurring, and for those who have had close contact with confirmed cases. And the increasing number of cases in other states and now in New Jersey make it more likely that we will see more cases in the near future, particularly since more people are being tested. New Jersey is no stranger to emerging infectious diseases, and as we are a hub for global travel, over the last 20 years, New Jersey has seen imported cases of SARS, viral hemorrhagic fever, and Zika disease as examples. And also, back in 2009, we experienced the H1N1 pandemic, when over the course of a year, we had over 3,000 confirmed H1N1 cases, mainly impacting younger populations. And similarly, as the COVID-19 situation continues to evolve worldwide and domestically, we are carefully monitoring the situation and are learning more about COVID-19 every single day and adapting what we need to do as needed. And right now, we are seeing that different areas of the United States are going through different stages. So, for example, in California and Washington State, there is evidence of sustained community transmission in which these states are taking additional steps to control COVID-19 spread. In New Jersey and in our surrounding states, we have not yet identified sustained transmission in community settings. There are different public health strategies that can help contain communicable diseases such as COVID-19. And right now, as we have started to get COVID-19 cases, we work with local health departments and healthcare providers regarding contact tracing and assurance of appropriate infection control processes. However, we expect that as we see more cases, we will also shift toward different strategies as we're seeing in heavily impacted states such as California and Washington, as we need to be mindful of prioritizing our healthcare resources. Community-based interventions can help slow the spread of novel coronaviruses, and those interventions might include personal protective measures such as home quarantine and everyday preventive steps like hand hygiene. Also measures to increase social distancing, such as school dismissals or social distancing in the workplace, and of course, environmental measures, such as enhancing cleaning of frequently touched surfaces. Again, we remind everyone that if you are sick, please stay home, and if you believe you need to be evaluated, contact your healthcare provider on the next step. And as a reminder, older adults and those with underlying medical conditions are at higher risk for serious illness if infected with the novel coronavirus. And we remind these vulnerable populations to be even more vigilant in taking steps to prevent infection, including the everyday basic prevention steps and extra consideration regarding travel to areas with known COVID-19 community transmission. And with that, I turn this over to Assistant Commissioner Chris Neuwirth.
Good afternoon. As the Commissioner just shared, there are currently 15 patients pending testing at our laboratory, with 4 being tested as we speak, for a total of 19 patients. For our licensed clinical and commercial laboratories, we've published guidance for them to begin testing in New Jersey. To date, we have not received any requests for approval, but expect requests to be coming in the coming week. We understand that Quest Diagnostics and LabCorp are conducting SARS-CoV-2 testing. However, they are sending their specimens out of state. They are not currently testing those specimens in New Jersey. We recognize that many healthcare providers and patients want the results as soon as possible. I must remind our healthcare colleagues, local and county public health staff, and elected officials that we are processing specimens as fast as possible. As results are determined, timely notifications will be made to ensure that information is shared in an appropriate manner. If you have questions about specific cases in your community, the local health departments are on the front lines managing and tracking cases and working closely with the state health department, including the state laboratory. We ask that you direct your questions there where local health officials can provide you with specific guidance. Thank you, and we will now begin our question and answer session.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 1, then 0 on your telephone keypad. You may withdraw your question at any time by repeating the 1 and 0 command. If you're using a speakerphone, we ask that you please pick up the handset before pressing the numbers to avoid the echoing on the line. Once again, if you have a question, you may now press 1 and then 0. One moment, please, for our first question. And our first question comes from the line of Elise Young with Bloomberg News. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for being available. Listen, I just have to proceed my questions with a little bit of media perspective. What we've had for the past several days is a real disconnect between the real and the ideal. New York State and New York City have basically multiple points of contact, and they're all empowered to disclose information as it happens. And completely. In the case of the Westchester County attorney, the health department identified his county of residence and his employer and that he was in his 50s. They told us which hospital he first sought treatment at and the hospital where he was ultimately treated and the schools that his children attended. Officials managed to do this without compromising any of his HIPAA information. And later detail that they gave us, including that family members were affected, as was the neighbor who drove him to the first hospital. And officials in later hours disclosed much more about individuals connected to him and how the virus had been detected. To be clear, this information helped thousands of people make informed decisions about how they go about their days. Information hasn't been nearly as forthcoming in New Jersey. A lot of this call has been a repeat of information that we had during the press conference the other day, a press conference, by the way, in which we were limited to 9.5 minutes of Q&A when we had many more questions. If I were a community resident living in Fort Lee and had heard that the Fort Lee gentleman had gone to urgent care A,
Elise, what is your question, please?
We have sat through lectures from your folks, so I'm just telling you what our perspective is right now. If you want help getting your message out,
we're here to help you. Please, can you ask your question?
Oh, I'm not done.
Sorry, Maya.
I'm not
Elise,
done.
Go ahead. Elise, go ahead. This is George. Go ahead.
Okay, George, I'm not going to go over all our gripes over the past couple of days because they're going to come off as gripes, but you can look at Twitter responses for what the governor has put out and what the lieutenant governor has put out. It's not just the press griping here. It's individuals saying, we need more information. It does us no good at all to say, we've got a man in Camden County. We need to know, where does this guy live? Does he work outside the home somewhere? This is a positive, this is a person who has tested positive. And telling us these bare bones details doesn't help us get the message out. In fact, it helps us confuse the message. So,
Elise, this is a press call for questions. What is your question, please, for the third time?
Okay, it's okay. It's a press call for questions. We don't need more lectures from an epidemiologist, okay? What I need to know is where this Fortley gentleman first went for his urgent care treatment. I want to know where the Fortley gentleman attended a conference in New York City. I want the hometown of the Camden individual.
So, Elise, this is George. I'll just back up as a general statement. We hear you loud and clear, and we will do our best to be as forthcoming as possible with all of that information. As you well know, we are trying to balance a number of things, including, as the commissioner has consistently said, is tracking down the community contacts and verifying them before we put information out there that may not be verified and causing greater panic. I hear you loud and clear. You are urging us to do better, and we will. I think there were a number of new details provided today on the four cases, but I genuinely appreciate what you said, and we will.
George, where does the Camden County resident live? What's the urgent care that the Fortley?
Here's what I would say: is if you could write those questions into me, we will get you answers on this.
Okay.
Did you have another question, Elise? Beth, I think we can go on if Elise has no questions.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Stacey Sherman. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello. You're getting Bloomberg overload today. So you said this is the place to ask questions. We asked where the Camden County man lives. What town? Can you not tell us that now?
Judy, can we verify the information? What township is he from?
I don't have that information in front of me, but before we close out today, maybe I can get that.
Okay, I would.
Stacey, as I told Elise, if you put those questions in writing to me and Mahan, we will get you those answers.
Okay, I would like to know the town of every single person who has this disease. Also, the Bergen County woman. You disclosed that she had a gathering at her home on February 29th with 15 people, and I think you said, I just want to make sure you said you're in the process of telling people. So 15 people were at her home 2 weeks ago, and they still don't, I'm sorry, a week ago. They don't know yet that they attended a party with a woman who's positive for coronavirus. Is that correct?
No, it's not. They all know that they attended the home of a person that was presumptive positive, and we're putting them in contact with their local health departments. So their local health departments, because they're not all from the same areas, as far as we know, and I don't have the specifics of the areas where they're from, but the local health department then makes contact, is making contact, and we'll be following up on every single one of them.
Okay, one more question while I have it. The two people attended conferences. Were those conferences notified that there was a person at the conference with the virus, and were the members of the conference notified?
My understanding is that conferences are notified through the local health officials.
Thank you.
next question comes from the line of Jim Walsh with Courier Post New Jersey. Your line is open, sir.
Hi, thanks very much. I have a general question and then two specifics about Camden County. Is there an estimate of how many people are in self-isolation around the state, and if there's a subset for how many of them are healthcare workers?
I don't have how many are healthcare workers. I can tell you how many are in self-isolation. At this point, we have four that are in active surveillance that are considered of medium risk. And active surveillance means that they're checking in with the health officer on a regular basis. We have 139 medium risk that are on passive surveillance. Passive surveillance is that they're monitoring themselves. They're making sure they take their temperature twice a day in intervals of 8 hours. Contacting the health officer if they exhibit any symptoms. We have eight that are low risk and are in self-monitoring. And we have 654 who have completed monitoring.
And that last number was 654?
Yes.
Okay. And my next particular question is, I have a little fuzzy connection. The Camden County patient, the date of onset, was that February 25th, 25 or 26th, 26th?
The Camden County, let me just get my notes.
Jim, it's 26.
Great.
Sorry very much. Sorry, to be clear, I am answering the correct question. You're asking when he had onset of symptoms.
Right.
His onset of symptoms was February 26th.
Okay. And would that mean that was when he was contagious?
Well, in most viruses, you're considered most contagious when you have symptoms. And I'll let Dr. Tan speak to that if she wants to elaborate.
Sure.
Anything more to add on that?
Thank you. And my final question was simply the email address where we can get this guy's hometown. What is that address?
Alex Altman is the single point of contact for any press inquiries on coronavirus. So, Jim, if you would send Alex Altman the email, we will get that back to you.
And what is Alex Altman's email address?
That is my full name, which is Alexandra, Alexandra.Altman@nj.gov.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Next question comes from the line of Brian Thompson with NBC. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for participating in this. I thought I heard at the beginning that you said one of the four presumptive positive is from Union County. Did I misunderstand that?
No, we have one testing in process from Union County.
We
have four tests in process. Two from
Mercer.
That's
one of them.
One from Union, one from Mercer.
And one from Mercer, okay. Do we know when to expect results on those?
Chris, do you have that answer?
Right now, for cases 1 and 2, we expect CDC results by close of business today. And for cases 3 and 4, we expect them either late Monday or early Tuesday.
Wait, you said CDC results?
Oh, I'm sorry. For the 4 in progress, I'm sorry. The 4 in progress will have results by tomorrow morning.
But from our own lab, not from CDC, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so all tomorrow morning. Okay. Are they all obviously exhibiting significant symptoms? Is that a good way to put it?
I would say significant.
I'm sorry, you would not say significant?
No, we don't have that information. They all, in order for them to be considered a person under investigation, they're symptomatic and either had a nexus with someone that is diagnosed as COVID-19 or has a pneumonia, which is significant, with unknown cause.
Understood. Could you please go through the protocol on self-quarantine as far as you might just take as an example the outpatient urgent care, whatever we want to call that, center in Bergen County. If people had some sort of contact, whatever the number was in that facility, whether it was 3, 5, 10, whatever, what is the protocol in suggesting or asking them to self-quarantine or not?
Dr. Tan, do you want to take that?
Yeah, sure. So the self-quarantine, you know, where you're separating the well individuals who are exposed from other individuals, basically involves having those individuals, like, stay at home, social distance, keep themselves separate from other individuals in their household. Also, self-quarantine might involve refraining from going to school or work.
You may have misunderstood. What is the protocol in having those people self-quarantine? In other words, would anybody who is at that clinic in the same room, be it the walk-in room or the health aid, would they all go into self-quarantine automatically?
This is Tina again. It depends on the risk assessment. As the commissioner had mentioned, there's quite a bit of assessment that the local health departments do in conjunction with affected healthcare facilities as far as, like, identifying individuals who came into direct close contact with individuals. So again, you know, there isn't a blanket, because, you know, you showed up and then you're going to be, this public health recommendation happens. There actually is a thought out process as far as doing an assessment of what the risk is for individuals who might have come into contact with confirmed cases. Over.
So, Jim, we need to move on with allow other reporters a chance to ask questions. You're more than welcome to resubmit another question, but we just need to move on, please.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Alex Zeden with News 12, New Jersey. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a question about 4 tests that are in progress. Are those people at the hospital, and if so, which hospital, or are they self-quarantined? And similarly, with the 15 people who attended the party in Bergen County, are they in hospitals right now or self-quarantined or none of the above?
As far as we know, the 15 that attended the gathering in Bergen County, we have no information that any of them are hospitalized. Of the 4 that are in process, all of them at the present time are in hospitals, one in Valley, one in Hackensack Palisades, one in RWJ Rahway, and one at Capitol Health Hopewell.
Thank you. And our next question comes from the line of Katie Sovko with Bergen Record. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi, I just was looking for some clarification on the rabbi from Passaic. He's a confirmed case for New York. Is that what you were saying earlier?
The rabbi from Passaic was a confirmed case in New York. Yes.
Okay, and he lived in New Jersey. He lives in Passaic, or he just?
My understanding is he lives in New York. He came to a service in New Jersey.
Is he hospitalized at this point?
I don't have that information. I don't know.
Do you have anything else available just about him or about that case?
No, just what I gave you at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Question comes from the line of Edgar Sandoval with New York Times. Your line is open.
Yes, hi, it's Edgar Sandoval. I wanted to double-check. I missed the first portion. Did you say there were 4 cases confirmed?
Yes, presumptive positive.
4, not 5, right? I just wanted to double-check.
4.
That's a Saturday. And how many tests are pending?
Currently, we have 4 tests in progress, and we have 15 individuals that we're waiting for specimens on to be tested, 15 persons under investigation.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Our next question comes from the line of Sam Sutton with Politico. Your conference line is open.
Hi. Thank you for making yourselves available today. I appreciate it. A couple of questions. First, wanted to clarify on the confirmation test from CDC. If I remember correctly from earlier this week, there was hope that the CDC would have confirmation by yesterday. It seems like there's a little bit of a backlog, so I'm wondering if you guys are running into any sort of hiccups getting confirmation from them there.
No, we are not receiving, we are not experiencing any hiccups in the process. As expected, sometimes, you know, the time varies depending on how many specimens are received by the CDC. So right now, those first two cases, we're expecting confirmation by the close of business today.
Got it. Second is about 45 minutes ago, Governor Cuomo declared a state of an emergency here in New York. Obviously, the number of cases hasn't come close to New Jersey yet, but wanted to see if that's something that's being weighed as the case total rises in the coming days.
In New Jersey, we have an emergency management system. In addition, Governor Murphy, weeks ago, created a coronavirus task force. It's a whole-of-government approach to this crisis. Our health commissioner, Judy Persicelli, will be in constant contact and communication with the EMS leadership, and they will make a recommendation to the Office of the Governor when they believe it is incumbent upon us to declare a public emergency. But at this stage, that is not appropriate for us.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from the line of Cesar Darius with Darius News. Your conference line is open.
Thank you for having this today. I just want to first just second what Bloomberg said at the beginning. More information is better. I don't think anybody's asking for personal information. My question has to do with, in looking at the statistics from the CDC, one of the weak links seems to be travel. And we have the cruise ship going on now over in California. We had the Anthem of the Seas arriving in Bayonne. We have Newark Airport. Can you address what is your contact? What are you doing to try to address those issues of people coming in from some of these countries that have a much, much worse problem than the United States? And I have a second question, if I may, afterwards, please.
Chris, do you want to talk about the process, particularly in those traveling now from the areas where there is community spread?
Certainly. So based on the CDC guidelines, as travelers arrive at Newark Airport, Customs and Border Protection, in cooperation with the CDC, screen individuals both via questionnaires and through medical screenings, as I'm sure you know, you're all aware at this point. Now, depending on individuals that screen positive or have information that needs further investigation, the CDC would consult with the Department of Health, make a determination on the most appropriate course of action for that individual. Depending on the risk level that's ultimately determined, if they're in fact a high risk travelers defined by the CDC criteria, the individual, depending on whether or not they're a New Jersey resident or not, may receive either a federal or state quarantine and, be required to, either quarantine at the residence or at the joint base, again, as you're aware at this point.
I thought you were done. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off there. Are there any cases right now that fit that category of somebody who arrived at the airport or on a cruise ship in New Jersey?
No, there are no cases at this time.
Okay. And my second question, please, is New York today is talking about getting the FDA to approve what they're calling automated testing. Can you just refresh our memory or just, again, update the procedure, the technology that is available in New Jersey to do it within the state and this automated testing request that some are asking for?
So I can't speak to that automated testing. I just don't have any information available specifically on what you're referring to. In New Jersey, though, we follow the CDC method of testing. Our state lab is part of a nationwide network of laboratories specifically for these purposes, and we follow the CDC's technical guidance on their methodology for testing, and our method is a real-time PCR test, again, following the CDC approved method.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Stacey Sherman with Bloomberg. Your line is open.
Hello there. A few questions. The first one, you said somebody else had also been at an out-of-state conference, the 55-year-old Bergen County man. Do you know where out-of-state and what day that conference was? I could ask the other two real quick. One school is closed in New Jersey, Frisch School in Paramus. Are there any other schools that are closed as a result of the coronavirus? And then I'll ask my third when you're done.
Okay, I'll talk about the schools. As far as I know, no other schools are closed. I know that Hackensack School District sent a letter to parents just identifying that they'll be close to the situation and will keep them in, keep the parents informed if they think there has to be a school closure. I don't have the name of the conferences that the two individuals were at, particularly the one that you questioned. That's if you send that question into Alice, we'll do some further investigation so we can get that to you.
Okay, thank you. Just one last thing is a reporting. Some other states are listing, keeping a running list of how many tested, how many positive, how many negative right on their website. Is it possible for you to do that for the press so we can make sure our facts are right?
Sure, we could probably do that.
Thank you.
And again, if you're on a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before speaking on this conference to avoid echoing. Our next question comes from the line of Brian Thompson with NBC. Your line is open.
Thank you very much. Do we know what town this 55-year-old Bergen man is from, please?
I don't. I'm trying to get that. I was hoping to get that before we got off the line.
Okay.
Brian, this is George. We're going to get the information for all four positive tests in their hometowns and get them all to you.
Okay, would appreciate that. The 15 people at that party in Englewood, are they all under self-quarantine?
My understanding is that the Englewood Health Department has contacted every single one of them, and they have put out a statement. Englewood put out a statement that they've identified and contacted all persons directly associated with the presumptive positive cases of coronavirus. Those who are in close contact are quarantined and have been instructed on how to monitor themselves. And the Englewood Health Department will continue to monitor these quarantined individuals daily.
And then on the Frisch School students, are they simply being monitored, or the ones who went to that New Rochelle? I guess it was about Mitzvah, from this part.
They are all home. They're all home. They're being monitored by their parents.
I'm sorry, being monitored by their parents?
Yeah, they're in self-monitoring at home.
Self-monitoring, but not necessarily in self-quarantine.
Pardon me?
Not necessarily in self-quarantine, but self-monitoring for now?
Yeah, self-monitoring.
Okay, and then I just wanted to say, Elise, I thought made some great points, and really appreciate you guys keeping an open mind and moving forward on this.
Brian, George, again, we appreciate that point, and again, it's not the administration's position ever not to be forthcoming with as much information as we can. We're striking a delicate balance with the very deeply personal conversations that we want health professionals to have with patients and families, but we've heard you, Elise, loud and clear. And we'll work towards that end.
Thank you so much.
And our next question comes from the line of Anthony Barateri with New Jersey Business Magazine. Your line is open.
Thanks. Hi. For the
the positive cases, the presumptive positive cases for the 15 people who will be tested, have you contacted their employers? And if so, what action steps are you asking the employers to take in notifying their employees?
Well, for the 15, we don't have results yet. So mm-hmm. there's no reason to follow up until we get the results. For the 4, the public health process is contact tracing. And in contact tracing, not only is it close personal contact, but any contact that the individual had from the time they were identified as being symptomatic forward. And if they had gone to work, their workplace would be notified.
Okay. And do you advise the workplace on what action steps to take, anything at all?
Yes. We have guidance posted on the website at the Department of Health on how organizations, businesses should deal with these situations. And we also had a conference call, a stakeholder conference call with businesses last Monday with Governor Murphy and shared the guidance throughout the state.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Charlie Style with Bergen Record. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I just had a quick question about the 3 out of the 4 positive tested individuals. It seems that they've had some connection with New York City or been over there. Do you know whether they've, during their time of that they've had this virus or at an early stage or when it was transmissible, that they took mass transit?
Well, the most transmissibility of viruses is when you're symptomatic. So I just want to make sure that that's clear for everyone.
Okay.
We had some tracking of the first individual that may have had some mass transit travel, and that has been that information has been transferred to the New York Health Department, and they are following up.
And just a point, a general question off of what Elise opened up the conference with. You folks are now going to provide us, more information about these people, like for what town, for example, in Camden County. Can you explain the hesitancy to not provide that initially? George mentioned a delicate balance that you're trying to reach. I mean, why not release that information? It doesn't seem to, even go near the private personal information or revealing these people individually. I mean, I just trying to understand your rationale. I mean, now you're going to provide it, but why not initially?
From our perspective, at the Department of Health, we look at everything through the lens of whether it has a purposeful reason to advance our public health mission. And that's a discussion that we have, is mm-hmm. this is going to advance the public health mission? And if it does, then we would release as much information as we possibly can. We're always balancing the rights of individuals versus the need to protect as many people as possible. Does the individual address advance the public health mission? I guess we could have a discussion on that. Does releasing where a person attends a mass gathering where others could be exposed? I would have to say definitely yes. So that's kind of the discussion that we have, the protection of individuals. I can tell you that, there's been some misses in that regard.
But on the other hand, I can tell you that there's been some instances throughout this process where, for example, the individual that was from out of state that was quarantined ended up with someone knocking on her door while she was in quarantine at a hotel, and it really scared her. So we're always looking at how to balance, again, individual privacy and rights versus the public health mission.
Okay.
Our next question comes from the line of Rebecca Panico with Star Ledger. Your line is open.
Yes, hi. Thank you again for the opportunity and for holding this conference call. I just wanted to clarify something about the rabbi that was mentioned earlier. He attended a service, you said, in Passaic. Is that Passaic County or the city?
You know, I don't have that in front of me. It was at a temple on the 23rd, I believe.
Do you know which temple?
I don't.
Rebecca, this is George. Good question. If you could submit that to Alex, we'll get you that answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
And
I just don't have that in front of me. I don't want to misstate it.
That's fine. I just had one other clarifying question. The four cases versus the 15 that are under investigation, can you just explain that again? Because I'm not entirely clear on it.
What four?
There's four, like, from Union County that are being tested right now, but then there's also 15 under investigation.
Okay, yeah. There's 15 persons under investigation. They are individuals that are symptomatic, either have pneumonia, they're in a hospital, either have pneumonia with an unknown cause, or have had symptoms and have had contact with someone who was confirmed as COVID-19. Most of them, all 15 of them, are currently in hospitals in New Jersey, and the hospitals are contacting us. They've been screened to determine whether they fit the criteria for testing, and we are now waiting for the specimens to be collected and the specimens to be transported to our lab so that we can begin testing. My understanding, as of the start of this call, we had received two of the specimens, and we're waiting for the other 13. The four cases that are in process, we have their specimens, and they're undergoing testing. That's two from Bergen, one from Union, and one from Mercer. Did that clarify?
Yes.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Lindy Washburn with USA Today. Your line is open. Please go ahead. Ms. Washburn, your line is open. Let me try once more.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. Please go ahead.
Okay, I have two questions about the public locations that the confirmed cases have attended, have been present at. Can you tell us the name of the urgent care center in Bergen County where the Fort Lee gentleman and, I think, the Englewood woman first sought care, and what the dates were that they were there, and how many contacts you're tracing from that location?
I do not have that information in front of me, but we will get that to you.
All right. And then the second question deals with the rabbi and what synagogue that was, if it was in Passaic City or County, and the day of the service so that people there would be aware of that and how those people are being contacted.
I can tell you that the people are aware, and I can tell you that there was an announcement this morning after services that anyone that was at the service, it was on the 23rd, anyone at that service who had closer contact with the rabbi should contact their local health officer, and the local health officer will be determining their self-isolation processes.
Okay. Okay. The third case in Bergen County, what is that, the hometown of that gentleman, the 50-something man at Englewood Hospital?
Yeah, I don't have the home addresses. That's something that we'll have to send to you. I was trying to get them while we've been on the phone, but I have not been successful, so I apologize.
Okay. Thanks.
We have a follow-up question from Elise Young with Bloomberg News. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi. The Bergen County resident who had symptoms on the 27th, who was admitted to Englewood Hospital, is he 6'5 years old or 5'5 years old?
We have, I'm looking for it. 55.
I'm sorry, what's his age again?
5'5".
Okay. And is this the individual who, before you had the press availability the other day, was this the individual whom you had heard about only a half hour before that news conference?
Yes, I believe it was.
Okay. And regarding the Frisch School, how many students and staff are affected by that closing?
I don't know the total amount of the students and staff. I know that there were 28 students that had possible exposure. They had attended a bat mitzvah up in New York at, I believe, Temple Young.
Okay, so when you, I'm sorry, you said they attended a bat mitzvah. Do you know the date of that bat mitzvah?
I don't.
Okay, and what did this take place at? This was a Young Israel event?
It was a bat mitzvah, that's all.
So is there a connection to Young Israel?
I don't want to misstate that. I don't have that in front of me, so I don't want to misstate it, but we'll certainly get that.
Okay, because at the news conference the other day, you mentioned that anybody who had been in contact with this congregation to, you know, take precautions. So were these the folks that you were speaking to?
The children and the services in Passaic are two different circumstances.
I'm not sure I understand. The other day at the news conference, you said anybody who may have been in contact.
That was with that was it referring to the February 23rd.
And that's the Passaic event.
Yeah.
That's the Passaic event, and that was a bat mitzvah as well.
No, that was not a bat mitzvah. It was services.
Services.
Bat mitzvah,
okay.
Relates to the Frisch School.
Okay, got it.
Elise, George again. The answer on the number of students and staff is a readily available answer. If you submit it to Alex because of the day of the week, bear with us, we'll get you that answer.
Okay, thank you.
Our next follow-up question is from Sam Sutton with Politico. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking the follow-up. I, for one, am pretty happy that there's an epidemiologist on the call because my question is about community spread. I wanted to clarify that there's no community spread in New Jersey, but it sounds as though some of these cases are due to community spread in New York. I wanted to make sure I'm understanding that correctly.
Dr. Tan?
Sure. This is Tina. You know, we do know that some of our cases do have association with known confirmed COVID cases. So that is correct, that piece. We don't have a source of exposure for some of our other cases. So, you know, that's a matter of, you know, still, you know, looking at some of the information and seeing if we can identify any more.
Got it. Okay. So no evidence of community spread in New Jersey, but obviously some of these cases are possibly due to exposure in New York or known cases in New York.
That's right.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Our next question is another follow-up question from Cesar Darius with Darius News. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Just two quick questions to clarify comments from earlier. Is the correct term that you're using in progress or in process? Or does it matter?
I'm not sure it matters. Chris, does it matter?
I didn't know if it was a term of art or...
We have four tests that are in the machine being processed now. So in progress, pending, however...
Okay. I didn't know if it was a term of art where one was correct and the other one wasn't. The second is you mentioned four hospitals earlier, Valley, Hackensack, Palisade, and I missed a fourth. And are those the four where the presumptive positive cases are currently? Is that why you mentioned those four hospitals?
No, they were mentioned there. That's the four in process.
Oh, okay. And what was the fourth one, please?
Capitol Health Hopewell.
Okay, thank you very much.
Hospital, Hackensack Palisades, Robert Wood Johnson Rahway, and Capitol Health Hopewell.
Thank you.
We have another follow-up question from Brian Thompson with NBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Are you folks aware, I ask this not knowing, of any New Jersey residents on any cruise ships? I think there's some people in Bethlehem, Israel, who may have been exposed. Anybody from New Jersey who is in quarantine or actually has come down with coronavirus in any other location out of this state?
I'm not aware of any.
Okay.
But that doesn't mean there aren't any. I'm just not
right.
aware of it.
It hasn't been informed to you. The other question I have is regarding this past week's APAC conference in Washington, D.C. Are you aware of anybody from New Jersey who may have attended that conference where two rabbis from New York who have been confirmed coronavirus had attended?
I'm not aware of anyone that has attended. I don't know, Dr. Chan, if you're getting any of that incoming from the health officers?
Not at this time. Not that we're aware of at this time.
Okay. I did talk to Congressman Gottheimer last night. He says he was there and did not know the two individuals, but very easily could have met with them. I guess that's kind of a situation where... You won't know until somebody tells you. Would that be a safe assumption?
This is Tina. That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much again.
And our last question comes from the line.
I apologize. Before we take the next question, with the commissioner's permission, I'll just go through the four hometowns, which we have ready. Commissioner, with your permission, I'll just run through these.
Sure.
Case number one, the hometown is Fort Lee. Case number two, the hometown is Englewood. Case number three, the hometown is Cherry Hill. Case number four, the hometown is also Englewood. Thank you, Beth.
Thank you. Our last question comes from the line as a follow-up from Elise Young with Bloomberg News. Please go ahead.
Could you clarify the Quest and LabCorp role in this? As I understand it, they don't now have either the capability or the approval to process. If they do get approval, when potentially would that start? And would it make for faster reads of test results if you have more labs? Or is it a case of you need 3 days? You know, 3 days to get a positive, no matter who's doing it, that it's not a case of too much workload.
Sure. So right now, those commercial labs, specifically those two, are conducting their tests outside of New Jersey. Certainly they could proceed here in New Jersey with submitting a request to add SARS-CoV-2 to their menu of testing capabilities. It would depend on when they submit that to us, how fast we would turn that around. I mean, it is in fairly short order. The reality is there's only two options as far as testing goes. You can use the CDC method or you can have a lab-developed test. And in fact, labs that do not follow the CDC method and develop their own test can actually take, 24, 48, maybe even 72 hours longer than the testing that the state would do. So, while it would increase the bandwidth of testing capabilities here in New Jersey, it would not necessarily increase the turnaround times.
Okay, so that's a processing time and not a workload matter.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. That's it.
And I have no other questions in queue. Thank you.
Thank you all for joining us today. We will hold another call tomorrow, and we'll have further updates for next week as well. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for your participation and for using the AT&T conferencing services. You may now disconnect. Speakers, please hold for transfer back to the room.
We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.